Everybody, Dr. Yvonne Kay here, and I'm delighted to be here with you with this podcast, How the Hell Did I Get Here From There? And I always have guests and I warn them ahead of time that that applies to them too. But I bring you people who are just incredible at what they do, but and are also available and have all kinds of recommendations and suggestions for people who are in emotional pain, physical pain, whatever. So I've talked before quite a bit about Gilda's Club. And I was involved with Gilda's Club before it was Gilda's Club. And that's a medal of pride I hold that I worked with them at that time. And I volunteer now. And it is such a worthwhile, amazing place. However, sometimes it seems to me that it's one of the best kept secrets because people think it's a club. Not as that. Now, it has another title too, as my guest will tell you. But the thing is, it is not a treatment center. It's something really, really important that's often overlooked in terms of illness. So my guest today is Kelly Harris, and I've known her a long time. I admire and respect her, and I want her to tell you about Gilda's Club and what she does and who she is and what position she holds. Thank God for Kelly. That's what people say. Even the founder, when I talk to him, thank God for Kelly. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Iman.
It's so good to see your face.
You as well.
You know the title of this podcast. I hope it's not too threatening to.
No.
Sometimes people balk, but anyway, if you'd be so kind to tell us about Gilda's Club, and you have another name for it, do you not?
We do. We are Gilda's Club and Cancer Support Community Greater Philadelphia.
Right. Okay. So tell us about certainly what you do there first. That's what we want to hear, and your position, because you've been there. How long have you been there?
You know, I have been here since 2002, so 19 years.
I thought it was a long time. Absolutely.
I've known you that long. Yeah.
Let's hear it about Gilda's Club.
So going back to the late 1990s, early 2000s, a group of local volunteers who, Yvonne, you know, many of them, realized that we have amazing cancer treatment centers in the Philadelphia area. And cancer care medically is phenomenal in the city of Philadelphia.
Yes.
However, there really was not a lot in place to support patients and their families while they're going through cancer, while they're dealing with challenges into survivorship or possibly even into bereavement, depending on the person's outcome. So this group put together a plan to open up a Gilda's Club. And Gilda's Club is named for the late Gilda Radner. And it was her wish that after she died, that there be a place where people can come, attend support groups, get individual counseling, receive education and support around the issues that cancer patients face, which are many. And so we opened in Bucks County in 2002, and then we have expanded into the greater Philadelphia area probably about 2013. So we now serve the entire Philadelphia area, and everything that we provide is free of charge, because we really don't want there to be a barrier for anybody going through cancer to be able to participate.
Right.
You know, it's hard enough being a cancer patient or the family member of a cancer patient. So we wanted to make sure that everything we provide is free. We also have a very large program for children and teens. We go into schools in the community. We provide support groups. We provide individual counseling. We have a very large bereavement program for kids. We've had a lot of requests for. You know, we just feel that it's really important to be free and be available to everyone in our community.
Right. So tell us a little bit more about Gilda. I know that she had ovarian cancer, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And then who was it who decided? Was it was her husband, and was it her brother or sister who decided to create this environment?
Yeah. So, you know, she had participated in the wellness community out in California. And when she moved back to the East Coast, and she did have ovarian cancer at a very young age, she moved back to the East Coast and found that there was really nothing like that. There were really no places where she could go and meet other people with cancer, talk to other people, just, you know, get that support that is so important to treatment in general. So yes, she was married to Gene Wilder at the time, but she had a psychotherapist named Joanna Bull, mm-hmm. who she saw up until the time of her passing. And when she passed, Gene Wilder, Joanna Bull, and her brother Michael Radner got together and said that they wanted to work to open up Gilda's Club. And they called on a number of celebrities, Mandy Patinkin, just the folks from Saturday Night Live, because, you know, that was her real footprint.
Yeah.
And they raised money and opened the first Gilda's Club in New York City in 1995.
Oh, 1995. Okay. I didn't realize it was at that time. Because she was very young when she died, wasn't she?
She was only 42.
Oh, she was in the early 40s. Oh.
Yeah. So really young.
Actually, I have a CD of songs for Gilda's. And in the first part of it, she is presenting at some hospital, something. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. She was so talented. And, you know, it was such a loss for the comedy community. Mm-hmm. But also, what a legacy she's left with making sure that right now we are in 4 different countries.
Really?
Yeah. 75 separate organizations across those countries. And so what a legacy that is to leave for people in need.
Absolutely. Some of the workshops of your program, I do one about laughing when nothing seems funny and when it is. Tell us some of the others that are so supportive, because I know this, I mean, there's a preponderance of artwork and dance and all kinds of things. So can you give us an idea of a few of them, what they offer?
Sure. You know, so one of the things that we're very proud of is that we really rely on the people that come and participate to share what they want, because we want people to feel that our program serves their needs best. So while there are certain things that happen every month, you know, we have ongoing support groups, we have educational events, we really rely on people to give us feedback and say, hey, you know, we'd really like a watercolor class or a dance class. And you know this, Yvonne, sometimes what people need is to be able to participate, learn something new, not talk about cancer, be with people that if they feel like talking about cancer in that activity, they know that people will understand what they're talking about. Each month, we try and make sure that we meet the needs of what people are asking us for, in addition to those standing groups. So we average about 150 different activities a month. Mm-hmm. And at 6 different locations across the Philadelphia area, we want to make sure that we reach out to people who are disenfranchised. One of our future goals is to really reach out into communities that are underserved, meet with people who can't get to us or who need to be able to have us come to them.
Right.
So we want to make sure that more people can take advantage of our services. But so today, for example, we had a Qigong class. This week, we have different types of yoga. We have support groups. We have our staff doing individual counseling. The kids have some summer programs. We have a very large summer camp for kids, which is great because, you know, parents can get a break.
Mm. I thought you had a summer camp for adults too.
We do. We have a camp for women and for men.
Oh, tell us about that one.
I just want to jump in and share if people want to get information about us. I want to just share our information real quickly here. It's www.cancersupportphiladelphia.org. www.cancersupportphiladelphia.org. And when you go on our website, you can find information about all the programs. We have camps for men, women, teens. So for women, it could be about self-care. It could be something fun. It could be laughter. It could be skincare, it could be hair care. We talk with women and see what they're interested in. And it's a fun way for them to get together. Now, you know, pre-COVID, those things were all in person.
Right.
With the advent of COVID, we had to resort to online. Which has been fun. It's been fine, and people appreciate it. And you know what that has done is it's allowed people who may be too sick to drive or be in person,
yes,
to come and participate. So we feel good about that, that we're opening our doors to a group who doesn't have access to transportation. There's a lot of people in the city of Philadelphia who rely on public transportation.
Absolutely. You know, you made a very, very important point just before that I really related to when you said about laughing and crying. And what I do, I always say that, you know, yeah, it's about laughter. But if something's really touching you and you need to, then just do that. And I found working with cancer patients, they need permission to be with people who get it and cry. And they've told me so many times, it was so refreshing for them. But they've always put this, well, you know how we are. Your mother was a Brit.
Yeah.
Our stiff upper lip on, you know. And I'm guilty of that. I mean, I'm taking time off right now because of this smile that I put on when inside I don't feel that way, you know. I mean, after the loss of John, when John died, you met John every single day, all the time. And I share that with people. And people, I found people really, really need to hear that, that it's okay. It's okay to grieve in whatever way that you need to. So I'm glad you gave your information. I will be asking for that later on again. How about telling us a little bit about Kelly Harris?
It's interesting because I came to this job, not in a way that I would have chosen to, but it's worked out to be very, very good. I had worked for many years as the director of an international adoption agency at Welcome House Social Services. And was traveling quite extensively to Asia, Europe, and had been in China with a group who were picking up their daughters. And I came back and really was not feeling well. And I was much younger then. Thought it was probably just jet lag. As time progressed and I got sicker and sicker, I was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of leukemia, which was startling and came as a total surprise. So I literally got the call and the doctor said, you know, you have to be down at the University of Pennsylvania within the hour.
Oh my.
So I went in and was in for an initial series of treatments for quite some time, came home briefly, and then went back in and received a bone marrow transplant. Part of my job at Pearl S. Buck International was to travel extensively. But because of my immune system, I just couldn't continue doing that. So I happened to be looking around for jobs and saw a small ad in the Bucks County newspaper that said they were looking for a person to work with them on a new organization, and that was Gilda's Club. And so I sent in my resume and I got the job, and I've been here ever since. So it has been for me really very cathartic and rewarding to be able to give back for something I understand so profoundly.
Yes, indeed.
And I know you know that as well, you know.
Yes, I do. And you know, it's interesting, before we started, I was talking to Lisa, who also has a background with her mother with cancer, and how important it is for people to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what Gilda's provides, a platform. And it's so true about having experienced things that you can really, really relate and identify. And some of the things that I don't think people understand about cancer is they hear the word cancer, but they don't realize that along with that, it brings at times financial burdens, people who need to have someone to rely on. They feel lonely, totally alone. And in my experience, it's nothing like being able to relate to someone who really gets it. And that's powerful. And that's what I see you doing. I don't know about the staff, how many of them are in recovery. But I have to tell you this, I think you probably already know it. But I had dinner with Dr. Larry a month or so ago, who was obviously one of the basic founders. And he couldn't stop talking about you. And that's when I say, thank God you're here. I hope you feel that.
I do. I feel, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like as a group of people from the community, and I've had the real privilege of working with so many people that care so much. And Yvonne, you said something earlier that is just so true. You know, the feelings that people experience when they're faced with cancer are so profound. And, you know, people oftentimes don't want to bother people. They feel like, you know, what I'm going through isn't that big a deal compared to other people. But, you know, that's really not true. And you and I have talked about this before. It is such a life-altering experience. And for some people, it's the way their life ends. And we need to give them the ability to experience that time with grace and courage. And sometimes, if, as you said, if they need to cry, they can cry. Mm-hmm. If they have the need for support, then we need to provide it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. You know, I've had such funny experiences with some of the cancer patients who also don't think they're supposed to laugh. And I'll never forget this woman. She went through what a lot of patients go through who are diagnosed with anything. Everybody knows better than the doctor. They all give this unwanted advice that drives them nuts. So we did this exercise when I said to people, all right, so you envision this person who's giving you all this advice, and you shrink them. And they looked at me and said, shrink them? And I said, yeah, very, very tiny. As they get tinier, their voices get quieter. And then they squeak. And then you put them in your pocket. So this woman, she's yelling, I need to do this with my sister. So she's standing up and she's shrinking her sister. And what does she do? She throws it on the floor and stamps around the room. I said to her, you're supposed to put it in your pocket. She said, no, it's worse than that. And everybody was, they were crying, laughing at this woman. And that's the kind of thing that we need to look at too, that it's okay when people are ill, that they're not getting over it because they can laugh. They're doing that because it's a natural, healthy resource. I'll never forget her. I will never, ever forget her. And every time I think about it, you can see what happens to me. You know, I start laughing all over again. So they have challenges with people giving them unwanted advice. They don't feel comfortable laughing. They don't feel comfortable crying. And that's where I see Gilda's Club, with all the facets. And I tell them all the time, it's not a treatment place, but it is. Because humor, you know? What do you think about that statement?
I think you're 100% correct.
Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. And I know that some of the conferences you have done in the Philadelphia area now with COVID, are you going to be doing any more of those get-together things?
We do. We have a conference on pancreatic cancer. We have a conference for women with ovarian cancer. We have a conference for people with colon cancer. Again, that's where we really try and listen to what people are saying. Just a comment on what you just said, because that was very true. And, you know, sometimes I think for people living with cancer, they're in that space of not knowing, right? So much about cancer is not knowing.
Right.
And to have to learn how to live with not knowing can be really difficult. But if you're with other people who've been there and who've said, I know what it's like not to know, mm-hmm. because you've been through this. How many times are you told, well, we have to see what happens. Well, we don't really know yet. Yeah. And that is a frightening place to be. And so, you know, that increases stress and anxiety. But to be able to go and laugh or cry or just do something that takes your mind off of it, in addition to learning something about what you're dealing with, you know, you said about people who have been affected financially.
Yes.
I know you would believe this, but many people would not believe the financial impact on so many families affected by cancer.
Yeah.
Gets down to food insecurity and housing insecurity. And our staff is there to help people with those issues as well. You know, we have our staff who help people find funding and housing and food mm-hmm. on a daily and weekly basis. And it's just, it's sad to me that it has to be, but I'm glad that we're able to help.
Well, I think too that we have to take into consideration what I call care sharers. I don't like caregivers because it's one-sided, and caretakers drives me around the twist. That's like cleaning up when you're a caretaker. So when I work with care sharers, which is something I'm thinking of, unless you already have it, something I'm thinking of doing, I use that term because I know the 10 years I was with John when he was ill, we shared. It wasn't just me taking care of him. I learned so much. And that's what I think is powerful. And then there are words, you know, I have this thing about words. There's a lot of words that are not allowed in my workshops. And the F word is not allowed, as in fine. If I ask you how you are, don't tell me you're fine.
Right.
That's, what is it? Frustrated, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. That's fine. So, because I think that words take root. And so we have to be really careful how we talk with ourselves. And the other thing I found in the groups is their connection with one another. That they're in touch outside, that they know each other, and that is so powerful.
Absolutely.
So listen, give the information again, slowly.
So www.cancersupportphiladelphia.org is our website, and there's a way to leave a message on there, and we can have a staff person get back to you within 24 hours to give you a call, talk to you about whatever your concerns are, and the website really highlights everything that we have to offer.
And you see, listeners, that's the point I'm making. We'll get back to you within 24 hours. Why don't I have these celebrities on my podcast? Because you can't reach them.
Exactly.
I only want people who could be reached.
Well, you know, Yvonne, just if I could say one more thing about people who are in the role of a family member, a friend, you know, so often people say to us, well, you know, I don't want to complain because what I'm going through is not nearly as bad as what my husband, wife, child is going through.
Sure.
Yet those are the people who, in most cases, are keeping the household running, still working, working with home nurses or going to the hospital. And so sometimes those people just really need a place to let their hair down and talk about their emotions, because it's okay to be angry or upset.
Oh, yes.
People say, no, I'm fine because he, she, they're not fine. Well, no, you know, you're not always fine, and that's okay.
Yeah. Because if you don't look at the fact that you're not always fine, you're going to get sick. There's no question about it. You know, in the first book, I always quote the first book I wrote, I put, small children don't verbalize, they internalize. And so do adults. They compare constantly, you know, and I think that's pretty sad because it doesn't help the person who's sick. I have to give just a shout out to the Earth Angels, as I call them, hospice. And we had hospice at home for John for 27 days, and they hadn't heard of Gilders. So I informed them of Gilders. And how do you let people know? I mean, you don't advertise, but what do you do? Is it word of mouth?
It is. You know, most of the people that come to us come from word of mouth. We try and reach doctors, nurses, hospice organizations who are helpful. We have good relationships with a lot of the area hospitals. You know, unfortunately, sometimes when a person is seeing their oncologist, the oncologist's goal is to make them better.
Yes.
And so, you know, we talk to doctors quite a bit and say, you know, it's more than just somebody's physical health. It's somebody's emotional well-being. It's somebody's mental health.
Yep.
And the fact that we're free, if we could just get people more into the role of making referrals, you know, more people would be able to avail themselves of our services.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to, again, let my oncologist know that too, because he's wonderful and he will be very open. And I honestly don't think he knows about Gilders Club. So I want to tell him today about that and give him the contact number. We have a few minutes and I'd love you to talk a little bit about the children and the children's playground and who built that and what you do for children, because people just don't think children have cancer, which is unfortunately.
Intentionally by design, build a children's program that is serves both children who have a family member or friend with cancer and children who have cancer. What we've seen this past year is that we've been seeing many more children who are in treatment for cancer. And that's new over the past few years. No less important, equally as important. But, you know, we try and provide a place both on site and we go out to the schools. We want to make sure that children have a place where they can talk about their fears, their stress, their anxiety. We try to educate children because sometimes, you know, parents will say to us, I don't want to tell the kids that mom or dad has cancer. They won't know. Well, Yvonne, you know as well as I know. Children know.
Yeah.
They always know that mom or dad, something's wrong.
Yep.
To not know what that something is far more stressful than kids knowing. So, you know, we offer family counseling. We offer summer camp. We go out into the schools and do groups that teach kids how to manage their stress and anxiety. We have bereavement groups. Our summer camp is mostly fun, some educational, some supportive, but it really is about having a chance to be a kid.
Yes. Wonderful.
You know, that's important to us. We feel the same thing with teens because teens are sometimes overlooked.
Yeah, they are.
And what is harder in this life than being a teenager? Mm-hmm. Right? So we've had stories of kids telling us that they've been bullied because their mom or dad has cancer.
Yes.
We're there to make sure that we support those kids, those teens, and those parents. Mm-hmm. You know, we do those things together to make sure that we can help support the whole family. You know, our tagline is community is stronger than cancer. So important.
I remember years ago, and I can't remember which state it was in, but there was a child with cancer and everybody in the class shaved their heads in support.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was, but I'm going to see if I can Google it and find it sometime. But that was remarkable. And my producer, Lisa Graham, has written a book for children about bullying. So it's powerful stuff. Once again, give us the information again.
www.cancersupportphiladelphia.org.
Gotcha. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.